regarding health insurance. Back in 2019, the caller says his annual premium came in at €1,303. That's €1,303 with Irish Life Health. This year, 2026, he's been quoted €2,357 with Irish Life Health. Caller is thinking he'll need to shop around. Well, that's, you know, of course, the advice that comes through, and questions are being asked, and lots of you got in touch with us in the programme. And I just want to remind you, with the Health Insurance Authority on Talk About with Deirdre Walsh yesterday, well worth checking out that interview on what you can do and what their role is in all of this. It's on the podcast on radiokerry.ie. Just click on the Talk About programme to listen back to that one. But questions are being asked, and a lot of you got in touch with us last week very frustrated about the premiums that are coming through your door or your into your email inbox over the last while, as to why Ireland's health insurance company are continuously raising their prices, with the most recent price hike just happening in December. All of Ireland's main health insurance companies have increased their prices at least twice last year, while Irish Life Health has raised its prices four times in 12 months. The Health Insurance Authority says the average cost of plans has increased by 8% since the beginning of last year. Latest figures from the CCO indicate that inflation rate from the 12 months up to October 2025 was 2.9%. The companies are blaming the increases on the rising cost of healthcare and a rise in insurance claims. But what really is going on with the economics of all of this? If you have your own view on it, or if your own report for us on what you're being asked to pay for your health insurance, we want to hear from you. But with me in the line, I've got Senior Lecturer on Finance at UCC Business School, Brian Turner. Brian, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me on the programme this morning. Look, you specialise in the area of health insurance, and can you just, from your own observations and your own work, what's been happening in the last couple of years that are making these premiums so continuous and so frequent, and we seem to be on a bit of a treadmill, an uphill treadmill all the way when it comes to what we pay?
We are, unfortunately. Now, I suppose, as with any insurance product, the main driver of premiums is the cost of claims. So, that is the biggest part of any insurance premium, be it health insurance, be it car insurance, be it house insurance, whatever type of insurance you're looking at. And what we're seeing is a very steep increase in claims costs over the last couple of years. So, for example, though, I'm looking at the Health Insurance Authority figures there for 2024. They're the last full year figures that we have. And if you look at it between 2022, at which stage we were pretty much out of COVID, so it was kind of back to a fairly normal sort of year in terms of the health system. Between 2022 and 2024, so over 2 years, the claims costs increased by over 20%. And that then was obviously reflected in premiums. So I suppose there are two main factors really that are driving the increase in claims costs. The first is that we have a growing and an aging population. So, you know, our population is growing, and therefore the insured population is increasing as well. So there are more people who are needing treatment. And as well, we're getting older as a population. So as we age, we tend to have higher health needs, our needs in terms of healthcare. So that's one factor. The second factor then is that the cost of providing healthcare is actually increasing as well. Now, I suppose if you think about it, hospitals no more so than the rest of us, you know, they're facing increased energy bills, increased food bills, increased wage bills. But as well as that, then we have, on an ongoing basis, we have increases or improvements in medical technologies. So there are new drugs coming on the market, new medical devices, new surgical procedures, which are more effective than what they're replacing. That's the good news. So the quality of the healthcare is getting better. But that obviously then comes at a cost as well. So if you combine the growing and the aging population with the increased cost of healthcare, that's kind of the main driver of claims costs, which is then feeding through into premium increases.
Yeah, Brian, on that element of living longer, it's a positive. The life expectancy is increasing in this country and has been on an upward curve for quite some time now. But better quality of life, better health outcomes, but also does that mean there's more interventions, more trips to hospital, more trips to your consultant as your healthcare is managed later on in your life? You know, more things happening to you. You have to interact with the health services more often than, you know, 30 years ago when people in their 70s, not many people were making their 80s. Whereas it's different now. Is that part of it, to explain it?
It is. Now, I suppose, you know, as life expectancy is increasing, and as you say, it's a positive. It's absolutely fantastic. Like, but it does mean that, you know, there are more people getting sick. Now, some of that is kind of offset by the fact that as the life expectancy has increased, healthy life expectancy has increased as well. So
yeah,
it's not just that we're living longer, we're living healthier for longer. But obviously, the longer you live, the more likely it is that you are going to need more trips to the GP, more trips to the hospital, more drugs, whatever the case may be. So there's a certain element of that. So it's not a kind of a one for one, so that, you know, as you increase life expectancy, you know, the demand increases commensurately. But certainly there is an increase. So some of it is offset by healthy aging, but not all of it. The demands on the system are increasing all the time. And it's not just health insurance. I mean, if you look at the health budget that the government has set aside each year, that's increasing each year as well. So the public system, the private system, they're all facing increased demand and increased costs. And it's not just Ireland as well. It's international. I mean, if you look at the health spending figures globally, they're just increasing all the time. So it's not peculiar to Ireland. It's not peculiar to health insurance. This is a kind of a global phenomenon driven by, as you say, the good news story, which is that we're living longer and we're staying healthier for longer.
Okay. Can we blame the pharmaceutical companies, Brian? Are they charging too much money? I know R&D, research and development, regulation cost a lot of money. But at the same time, some of these are the biggest companies in the world making supernormal profits.
I suppose in terms of health insurance, the cost of drugs would probably be a relatively small proportion of health insurance claims. So, I mean, the majority of health insurance claims hospital treatment. And I mean, the biggest cost in terms of hospital treatment would be the cost of accommodation in a hospital bed, the cost of, you know, the staff, the consultants, the nurses, the healthcare assistants and so on. The drugs would be a relatively small proportion of that cost. The day-to-day expenses then that the health insurance plans now will give you partial cover for, they don't usually cover drug costs. So when it comes to the health insurers, I don't think drugs would be a significant driver of the cost of claims for health insurance.
Okay, so Brian, what can and what should, we're talking about, you know, the need for reform and change in various different areas of Irish life. The Dáil resumes today for its new term for the new year. What, if anything, can politicians do about this to try and tackle this? Because if it keeps going up, you're going to have one or two things are going to happen. You'll have more people dropping out of the system, which I imagine itself will create more pressure as insurers try to make ends meet and keep their profits high by charging the existing customers more.
Well, I suppose in terms of the politicians, I mean, Sláinte Care is kind of the main plan for the health system in Ireland over the long term period. Like, so it was published in 2017. It's kind of hard to believe it's that far back now at this stage.
Yeah.
But the idea behind Sláinte Care is that the politicians are focusing on improving the public system. The idea being that if we improve the public system, then hopefully not as many people will want health insurance or will need health insurance. So I suppose their main focus is on the public system rather than on the private health insurance system. Now, in terms of what they could potentially do, I suppose it may not necessarily address the increases in premiums, but what it could do is maybe kind of give people a little bit more clarity in terms of health insurance plans, is, you know, get a standardized plan in the market. So at the moment you have over 300 plans available in the market, and I mean the Health Insurance Authority has an excellent comparison tool on its website, but there's so much information there, there's so many plans and there's so many ways in which to compare them, that it's bamboozling for people to try and figure out, okay, am I on the best plan for what I want? So, you know, obviously what people need to do themselves as well is think, okay, what cover is important to me? Now, one thing that we've seen in the last few years that's really driven increases in premiums on some plans is the cost of what they call certain orthopaedic and ophthalmic procedures. Now, if you remember the children's song, Heads, Shoulders, Knees and Toes, certain orthopaedic and ophthalmic procedures is like the grown-up portion of that. It's hips, shoulders, knees and cataracts. So it particularly if people need hip replacements, knee replacements, shoulder replacements, that the cost of those is increasing quite rapidly. So there are some plans that give you full cover for those in private hospitals, whereas most plans give you limited cover. So they they might cover 80%, or you might have to meet a €2,000 co-payment. And the difference in price between the plans that do and don't cover the orthopaedics, that difference has widened a lot in recent years. So I suppose one thing that I would say to people is, you know, have a look at the orthopaedic cover on your plan in particular. If you have a plan that gives you the full cover for orthopaedics, that's going to be driving the cost. I mean, you'd be doing very well to get a plan at anything less than about €2,000 a year with the orthopaedic cover. So I suppose the question you need to ask is, okay, how likely am I to need a hip replacement, a knee replacement, a shoulder replacement in the next few years? Because that's obviously going to be a big element of the cost at the moment. Now, obviously, if you think that you will need that at some point in the future, I'd be saying to you, look, hang on to it.
But if you're in your late 30s or your early 40s, the likelihood of it in the next couple of years is probably unlikely, as opposed to if you're in your late 50s or early 60s. So you need to calculate that as to what you want in your specific plan.
And exactly. And then I suppose kind of plan ahead, if you like, because there are certain types of waiting periods in health insurance. So there's the initial waiting period when you take out health insurance first, or if you've had a break of more than 13 weeks. There's a pre-existing condition waiting period where any pre-existing condition that you have when you take out health insurance isn't covered for a certain length of time. But then, and this is the one that would be relevant in terms of people who might think of reducing the level of orthopaedic cover they have, there's what's known as an upgrade in cover waiting period, which is 2 years. So like you said, now if somebody's in their late 30s and they're not likely to need a hip, knee, shoulder replacement over the next few years, they could maybe afford to drop down to a plan with the limited cover for that. But just plan ahead that, you know, if at some point in 5, 10, 15 years down the line, you think, okay, the hip has given me a bit of hassle there, now I might need to change, just plan ahead, because you will have a 2 year waiting period, or potentially you will have a 2 year waiting period to for the upgraded bit of the cover. So if you're going from 80% cover to 100% cover, you'll have to wait 2 years for that extra 20%.
So just the period of life that you're in and the time of life that you're in, your overall health as well. Okay, Brian, listen, brilliant advice for us, and thanks for explaining it for us. It's not a pretty picture. It's not coming down anytime soon.
Unfortunately, not. I'm not really a good news story at the moment.
No, I'm afraid. You're not a popular guy, Brian. You're not a popular guy. Listen, thanks very much for that, Brian, and really appreciate you taking the time this morning to talk to us.
Thanks, Jerry. Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Brian Turner there from UCC, senior lecturer in finance, specialising in health insurance and those costs. Give us your view on what he had to say and that advice. We've more on the way after we take these.